Okay, we have two things on the agenda this morning that we need to get to. If I can have your attention, we'll have our main message. But then following that, we'll have a brief business meeting, and Tony will be speaking. So when we've finished with the invitation and everything, I'll ask you to stay for about another 10 minutes so that Tony can go over some things with us. we're getting so close to applying for the mortgage and for purchasing the Q&V building that we're probably going to have little business meetings like this popping up and more often, because we're a church. This is not an organization that has a few people who make all these decisions. We try to get everybody together, understand what's going on, because it's our money. It's not a money that comes out of some hole in the ground somewhere. It doesn't come from any other place. It comes from our pockets. So we get everybody involved. So I need you, as soon as I finish the message, as soon as we have the invitation, I'm going to ask you just to stay here for about another 10, 15 minutes so Tony can help us understand what we need to be doing. Is that okay? Hold on to your hats. All right. 1 Peter chapter 2, please. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter 2. Last week we learned that we all need to become very good followers of Jesus Christ. There's no other place for anyone. You don't start any other way. As a matter of fact, Jesus said to an older man named Nicodemus, he said, Mr. Nicodemus, you need to start all over again. You must be born all over again, this time spiritually. But it is, to a spiritual person, to a religious person, it is starting all over again. We all start out as sinners, lost, and in trouble with God. We may not take it seriously, but we were under the wrath of God. Isaiah 53 describes it as all we like sheep have gone astray. Then, one day, came a shepherd, the great shepherd. Look at 1 Peter 2 and verse 25. For ye were as sheep going astray, going your own way, going out of the way, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Jesus became your great shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, from that moment, we have been following, learning, and growing as sheep. At least we should have been. But this week, I want to move on to becoming more than followers. More than just sheep. Now, obviously, there are some differences between a sheep and a shepherd. Obviously, there are some differences. Sheep eat. Shepherds feed. Sheep flock together, and their life is spent in the herd. Shepherds stand alone. Sheep follow wherever the flock is headed, but shepherds call the flock to follow them. Sheep have few cares or worries, and shepherds carry the heavy burdens. Sheep love eating and sleeping, while shepherds love the sheep. Let me ask you some questions. Three different people that might stand out in your mind as the difference. There were three young men named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when the emperor of the day, the world emperor, built an idol to himself and called for the whole world to bow down before that idol at the rock music that they played of that day, when he demanded the whole world to bow, three didn't. And those three young men stood while countless other Jews couldn't. What was the difference? One group were followers. They were sheepish. They only did what came easy. Those three said, we will stand, whether no one else will. They grew up. There was a little teenage boy named David, as our second illustration, that one day came upon a battle scene. There were tens of thousands of Israeli troops standing there looking into the valley. And there were tens of thousands of Philistine troops on the other side ready to storm into that valley and engage in the war, and yet neither side moved. Every day a giant would come down, would thunder down that hill and would throw up his fist into the sky and say, I defy God. I mock your God. Send me a man and let me crush him. Nobody would move. And yet something made a young teenage boy break through, run down and says, I'll take him on. The rest of them stood there waiting for someone else to lead. He took the lead. One is a group of sheep. The other one was a shepherd. The third one is Paul of Tarsus. Here was a man who, whenever he went into a town, he would end up either being stoned or beaten or imprisoned. And yet that one man was able to leave those towns with a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, gospel-preaching, sin-hating, Christ-loving church. He was able to do what others didn't even dare try at such a high price. You see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, young David, or Paul of Tarsus, none of them just went with the flow. They chose a different path. You know, it's so easy to just go with the flow. It's easy to be a follower of the crowd, to just go with the pressure. I thought about this. A dead fish goes nowhere other than where the water takes them. And a living fish that goes the same direction as a dead fish is no better than a dead fish. Do you understand what I just described? You may never be a pastor. You may never be a mayor. You may never be a Taoiseach. You may never lead a massive corporation like Ford or Apple. But you can break out of being a break out of being trapped in the mindless, spineless culture of this modern age. Do you know God's challenge for us is to move from being a sheep to being a shepherd, from being a follower to being a leader and a world changer. John chapter 21. The Gospel of John chapter 21. When Jesus met Peter, at first he told him to follow him, didn't he? Now, in John chapter 21, Jesus is going to tell Peter to no longer be only a sheep. You never get more than a sheep, folks. Believe me, I am still just above dirt. Amen? I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I will always be only a follower. But the challenge is to be more than just a follower. John chapter 21 and verse 16. Jesus has asked Simon, he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. I love thee like a sheep loves a shepherd. And then he said unto them, Well, I want you to be a shepherd. I want you to feed my sheep. I want you to grow up. Now, being a leader is more than just having power. Didn't the apostles want to have that power? And they had it. Sometimes they took it to an extreme. There was one time where they felt threatened and they said, Can we pray for fire to come down and burn them all up? These were the great apostles. Being a leader is more than just having power. Rich people want power. They want personal power to help them make more money. Politicians want power. They want personal power to create a world in their image. But Bible-believing Christians want something more. We want to be more than just sheep. We want to get back to setting the pace of this world, to guiding people who are blind, to being a light in a dark place, to being salt in a dead world. That's what Jesus has saved us to be. Now, warning. What I'm about to talk to you this morning is probably going to cost you everything to become more than just a follower. It is easy for you to sit there this morning. It's a lot harder to get out of your seat and actually start acting as a Christian, to start taking on the role of a leader. If you're even the slightest bit squeamish about pressure, then leadership is not for you. If you're quick to complain and whinge and murmur and find fault in everything and all things, then by all means, stay the way you are and never risk being hurt. Being a leader is the greatest opportunity any human being can ever have. God did not save you to be where you are right now. God saved you to take you further than you can imagine and have you impact your world. It could be just those kids that are around you every day. It could be just your classmates. It could be just your coworkers. Or it could be another nation being turned upside down because of some faithful young sheep in this room became a shepherd. Father, I pray for help this morning that you convict us. Instead of staying the way we are, we're so unteachable, we're so unplacable. And Lord, I pray that we would get off of our high horse and stop thinking we know best. We know what's best for everyone and everything. Thinking that's what leadership is. Leadership is not that. Leadership is letting you transform us in the same way that the world used to conform us. Pray we are different from this day forward. Pray that we're like Jesus, the great shepherd. May we be like him. I pray that in this room people would examine their hearts and find out, are they even following Jesus? Is he just a byword? Is he just something that they treat religiously? Or is he their Savior? Is he their Lord? Is he all in all to them? If he's not, then they need to be born again. They need him before it's too late. Please help every Christian in this room heed this message this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. How do you become more than a follower? We started talking about being a follower, and you start there. Every one of us start there. None of us, some people are born into leadership, but you don't want to be like them. All right? You know you don't want to be like them. I mean, how do you want to be like King Henry VIII? Huh? Next wife. These guys were born into leadership roles. Christians start off as sheep. We start off following. But how do you move beyond that? First of all, Mark chapter 3 and verse 14. Go to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 3 and verse 14. Mark chapter 3. I want to show you a really neat scripture in a word that snuck into this verse. Mark chapter 3 and verse 14 says this, and he, Jesus, ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. If you want to be more than just a sheep, if you want to be more than just a common, run-of-the-mill, normal, invisible person in this world like everybody else, you're going to need to want to be with Jesus Christ. What am I talking about? I can see Jesus with his 12 disciples, and he called those 12. As a matter of fact, he called all men to follow him, but at least there were these 12 who hung with him, and he said, I want you to be, listen to these words, with me. A sheep should want to be as close as possible to the shepherd. Is that not the safest place? There are loads of people who follow Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, go back a bit. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 25. Matthew 4 and verse 25. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. Thousands and thousands. Chapter 8 and verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. There were loads of people who were following him. Chapter 19 and verse 2, still in Matthew. Matthew 19 and verse 2. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. Some followed him for food. As a matter of fact, I think most followed him for the free food. Some followed for all the miracles that he was able to perform, and some followed for the amazing entertainment. It must have been very enjoyable. They'd never, listen, all they saw was desert or some crops or some cattle, and here's somebody who walks on water. Here's somebody who calms the raging seas. Here's somebody who heals person after person after. It must have been great entertainment. They never had television, never had the idea of watching such things. So they followed him. But in the end, out of all of those people who followed Jesus, only a few hungered to be with him. As a matter of fact, often you find only three of the 12 disciples getting very close. As Jesus began to climb the Mount of Transfiguration there, Peter, James, and John went with him. The others sat back, and you can understand this. Matthew and Bartholomew and Nathaniel, these guys, when Jesus said, Peter, James, and John, come with me, they all went down and says, okay, see you later. Did you bring the cards? Did you got any food? They didn't mind the fact that Peter, James, and John were going up and going to be with Jesus, and they were not. You know what? What is so revealing of your Christianity is whether you see some Christians coming for church on Sunday night and you hear that they're getting close to the Lord and you're still stuck at home watching some idiot television program. And you ought to be hungering, saying, can I come too? See, if you want to stay a sheep, go home. Stay in front of the television. Read your Facebook. But if you want to be more than a sheep, you need to be hungering to be with Jesus, no matter how few or how many are there. In the end, Jesus goes, and it's been throughout his ministry, when he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane, he takes his disciples with him. Only one is missing, and that's Judas. But as he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane, he sets down his disciples, and they all sit there, and he says, pray that you enter not into temptation. And then he says, Peter, James, John, come with me. And he goes deeper into the darkness of that garden, and he takes those three with him. And they hear and they watch his agony, and they share in that most incredible of experiences the others never experienced. Why? Because they wanted to be with him. And if you want to be more than you are, and I want to be more than I am, it's going to come where you want to have the closest relationship possible. I don't think that a church should be full of deadheads. We should not be the most apathetic. We should be the most passionate, the most fanatical about our walk with God, about our Lord. We should sing. We should smile. We should rejoice. We should thrill at just who Jesus is, no matter how hard or how low or how rough days may be. John chapter 13, here's an incredible thought. John chapter 13, we start with tens of thousands that follow Jesus. 12 actually stick with Jesus, don't they? Of those 12, 3 get very close to him. But of those 3, watch John chapter 13. John chapter 13 and verse 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom only one. Isn't that an awful singularity? Only one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Now you got to admit, John really wanted to be close to Jesus, didn't he? Wow. You know, the Apostle Peter got to write how many books of the New Testament? 2. Okay. Matthew wrote 1. Mark 1. Luke 1. John wrote 5. Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation. He wanted to be near Jesus. There ought to be such a drive, such a competitive spirit in this church for who would walk the closest to Jesus. And who would go the furthest just for him. I know everybody wants to get ahead in life. They think they know better. Everybody There's such a number of people who are writing books today about how to do this and how to get better this and how to be better that. Why don't you just be better? Let's not write the book. Let's live the book. Let's grow up. Jesus asks us to watch Him, to do like Him, but most of all, He wants us with Him. I like that. Jesus, one of these days, He says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also forever. Isn't that good? He wants us with Him. It's up to us whether we want to be with Him. It is only when you spend a lot of time with Him that it'll have an effect and it'll move you from being a sheep to a shepherd. Secondly, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. These are some of my final thoughts on leadership, and there are too many to preach. I hummed and hawed and changed my message a couple of different times because I'm no author on leadership. But I believe we need, as best as I can, we need to learn how to move beyond being just followers. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10 says this, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Now, I'm dead serious. If you want to be more than who you are, it does not come naturally. When God sent Adam and Eve out of the garden, He said, from now on, you'll eat bread by the sweat of your brow. If you don't sweat, you don't eat. Huh. You know, God hates laziness and apathy when there's work that needs to be done for Him. Our world is going to hell. And we're supposed to be making an eternal spiritual difference here in Cork. And that takes work. Jesus says that we should labor more for eternal things and for spiritual things than for the passing things of just this life. Go back to John, the Gospel of John chapter 6 and verse 26. John 6 and 26. In the Gospel of John, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." So why were they looking for Jesus? Free food. "Ye seek me not because you saw the miracles and you thought I was God, but because you thought I was McDonald's." Verse 27 says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth." Don't spend all your day to feed your stomach. "But labor for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed." Notice that word there, labor. What does labor mean? It means hard work. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. To the right, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You want to be more than you are? Oh, let's just turn it around. You want to stay the same? Don't do anything. What is one of the most revealing gospel leaflets you may hand out to somebody is a tract that on the outside it said, "What to do to go to hell." That's a great little simple leaflet. You open it up and it just says nothing. What do you have to do to go to hell? Do absolutely nothing. Stay the way you are. Stay in the same religion. Pray the same prayer. Do the same things. Now you flip it on the backside. How do you get born again? Repent of your sin, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You see, you don't have to do anything to go to hell. And let me just say this. Those of you who are saved, you don't have to do anything to just be sheep. Now that you're saved, good. You're a sheep. You don't have to do anything. You'll stay the way you are. But if you want to be more, you're going to have to start to work. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14. And I really wish I could encourage you to come on Wednesday nights. 2 Corinthians is going to be such a life-shaking and life-threatening, life-transforming book if you'll come and listen to what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse, where did I say it was starting? Verse 14. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. Wow. For I seek not yours. I don't seek your money. I don't seek your praise. I just seek you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly, circle those two words, we'd say extremely happily, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. You know, if you're going to move from being just a sheep to a shepherd, you're going to find yourself spending and spending and being spent. You're going to wear yourself out. And you're going to enjoy it. I think every Christian in this room ought to work hard at being the best givers. Ought to be... This is the environment that the best workers on the job will be made. You think if I get a job, I'll work hard. If you have never helped out in Sunday school, if you've never spent time coming in early and staying late so that this place is set up for others, if you don't ever take the time and put out the effort to go soul winning and to help out with cleaning the bus, and if you're not putting out effort here as a Christian, you're going to be awful out there. This is the environment that we make the best workers, so that I would love one day for some employer to phone me up and say, you know so-and-so, I hired them 6 months ago and he's blown me away. He says he's a Christian. He says he goes to your church. He's the best worker I have. Have you got any more? Now you think that would ever happen. It happens more than you know. Just clock in, do your stuff, go home, and probably get fired in the process. If you want to be more than that out there, you got to start being it here so that you can be more than what the world is making us. The world is dumbing us down. The world is pushing us into a corner. Stand out there and say, no, I want to work harder than they all. Everybody else is 4:52, click, and they're out and they're gone. Stay until 5:30. If you clock out at 5, stay until 5:30. Even if your boss doesn't notice, God does. You ought to be the hardest worker. You ought to be the best giver. You know what sheep do? They take. You know what shepherds do? They give, and they give, and they give some more. Work harder than anyone. Work harder. Start at the bottom. Say, well, you know, if pastor would ask me to preach, you know, I'll think about that. That's not where you start, is it? No. You know, when we get our building, we're going to be looking for volunteers not to preach, but to clean toilets every week. Amen. We're going to need some people who will clean windows till you don't know they're there. I want people coming to church walking into our windows. Amen. Because they're so clean. Amen. Amen. I'm dreaming. No Christian in this room ought to have any problem starting at the bottom. Just helping. Just working hard. And by the way, make sure you get some scars. I don't have time. Make sure that your hands get calloused for the Lord. I mean, where you can look back on this past year, and I pray that as we come up to New Year's Eve and we look back on this year and we see all the things that have happened and all the things that have been accomplished, you can say, ah, I was there, and I was there, and I helped there, and I got hurt there, and I got scars there, but I was there. Amen. Paul says, a night and a day was I in the deep. 5 times was I beaten with rods, 40 times each except one. I was imprisoned. I was in peril. I was hated. I was in death's oath. You know what he's saying? I was working hard. I didn't just stay in the comfort of nobody. I stepped out of being a sheep. I became a shepherd. He was a sheep for a while, for 3 years after getting saved. He goes off into the Arabian desert, and he goes around that Mount Sinai there, and he learns the Bible all over. But after he comes out of that desert, he goes back and he meets with Peter. He spends 2 weeks with him, asks him questions all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And from that mark, he headed out, and he served, and he labored, and he worked for the Lord. He put just as much effort into living for Christ as he did for the devil. Do you remember how much money you spent on drink? Do you remember how much money you spent on cigarettes? How much money you spent on videos? How much money you spent on the pubs, even on drugs? How you spent all of that time, all of that money, all of that effort? Why don't you do the same thing for God? Some of you never had a problem putting 100 euros down on the table on some Friday and sit across from some Friday or Saturday night, and yet you'll put 10 euros into that box. Amen. You know, when you're a sheep, the only scars you'll get will come from wandering away from the shepherd. But when you're a shepherd, you'll get scars from protecting the sheep, from when you were leading the sheep, when you were rescuing the sheep, and as you obeyed your shepherd, the Lord. Third, if you want to grow, if you want to be more than a sheep, trust God more and more. Proverbs 3. Proverbs. Middle of your Bible, Psalms. Go to the next book after that. Very familiar. It ought to be a very familiar scripture. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Proverbs 3. Verse 5 and 6, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. We have a very convenient kind of faith in Europe. What do you mean? It's a faith we're comfortable with. Don't push me, I'll live better. I'm fine, it works for me. That's what people say. But I'm going to tell you, your faith probably is not real. Not until it has been tested and tried and proven by fire. In reality, most people in this room are resting on the faith of others. Some of you are you believe God because your parents do. If you were in a Muslim home, you'd be a Muslim. If you were in a Hindu home, you'd be a Hindu. Because you're trusting in the faith of your parents, you don't have your own faith. Jesus Christ called people, He called individuals to decide for themselves, will you trust God? Will you follow Me? He didn't say to the whole nation, follow. All of you just follow Me because the King is following Me. He calls individuals to choose. In reality, most people are following on the faith of their pastor. And they're resting in the faith of their church, and yet they have very little of their own faith. They have very little of their own confidence. They just don't know how to trust God. You know what sheep do? Sheep trust the shepherd. But you know what shepherds do? They trust God. Now, my life, I intend and I aim and I work very hard to be an example. I want you to be able to trust me. But believe me, sheep need a shepherd. But after a while, my goal is to get you so that you trust God. Amen? We've got a very convenient kind of faith that doesn't really trust God. Everyone has to learn to trust God. It doesn't come naturally. Do you know what Moses? Moses learned when he was humbled and God made him into a lowly shepherd. Do you know what Moses learned? That the ability to do God's will was not in himself. It was not in that rod that he held up. It was only in the Lord. He had so many abilities coming out of Egypt, thinking he could lead Israel out of bondage, and God brought him down to a shepherd. But as a shepherd, I mean, this was the worst of the worst. It's like a rubbish collector in the eyes of the world. The lowest form of job. There he was, taking care of not even his own sheep. And the Lord said, I want to do something great with you. And what did Moses say? Me? I can't do anything. He didn't trust God. He was trusting his own ability. You know what the problem is? Some of you think that I get up here and I'm full of confidence. I'm full of ability. I can stand up here and just preach and I can present truth and I've got it all under control. Whereas for hours I have agonized and I have fought and I've struggled and I've said, I can't do it. They need a different preacher. It's not coming together. It does not come naturally. If you're going to be more than a sheep, you're going to have to learn just how to trust God. Amen. Samson had to learn that the power of victory was not in the jawbone of an ass, which is what he thought of at first. He said, cool, all I needed is this bone. He didn't realize he needed God. Gideon had to learn that an army of 30,000 was too many. And even when he learned that only 300 would go with him, he still was biting his fingernails down to the quick. And he said, how's this going to happen? And the Lord said, because I'm going to do it. And every great leader in the Bible had to learn to trust God. And you do too. Great things are accomplished only with great faith, not great ability. Next time you face a storm, next time you hit a wall, next time you wrestle an enemy, decide to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to find an answer in yourself. Instead, be willing to stay trusting Him until the storm calms, the trouble passes, and the enemy runs away. Fourth, allow yourself to be hurt a lot. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Trying to wrap up this month's theme on being an example of being a leader of a church. Not just hiding, not just see, somebody says, why are you buying a building? Well, we can rent here forever if you want, but you know, we can move to the next level where we have a permanent place and all of a sudden we stand up and we says, we've got something to say. And we're here to stay. And we're doing something for God. We're not doing it for the business world. We're not doing it for the political world. We're doing it for another world. And we're willing to sacrifice. We're willing to build. We're willing to give. We're willing to do all this because we could just be sheep. But we want to be leaders. We want to have an impact so great on our community that our community sees pubs shut down so that we see people beginning to make a decision that, you know what? I need to read what the Bible says too. I need to know who Jesus Christ really was because these people don't know Him. They have no idea. If you ever do step out and attempt to do something for God and attempt to not just be a sheep, but a shepherd. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12 says this. You're going to be hurt a lot. But I would, ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. When he says happened unto me, he says they were bad things. They were hurtful things. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Everybody knows about me being in jail. Many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bond, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. My willingness to go through this has encouraged others. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife. Some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention. They contend against me. They argue with me. They fight me. Not sincerely. Supposing to add affliction to my bond. Is Paul in the middle of the will of God? Is Paul trying to serve God? Is Paul just being faithful to God? Yes or no? Yes. Was he being hurt in the ministry by his own brethren? Yes. Verse 16, the one preach Christ of contention. They get so bold that they preach and they start to blame me. not sincerely, supposing to hurt me, to add affliction to my bonds. It already was hurting him while he was in prison, wasn't it? He was no fun. He said they just were adding affliction to my bond. But the other, the other group, they were preaching out of love and knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Should I be bitter? Should I get angry? No, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. Therein do I rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. One group was preaching and using me as their stepping stool, saying, you know, I'm better than Paul. I would never be like Paul. I would never get in trouble like Paul. And yet they would go about preaching Christ and getting people saved. And he said, praise God. Because it hurt him. A.W. Tozer said this, and some of you have some CDs of what he's written lately. He said these words, whom God would greatly use, he will hurt deeply. God will allow a lot of hurts into your and my life. He does that. Don't fight it. I fight it. I don't like it. God will allow a lot of hurts into your life as you seek to grow and be more than just a sheep. It is only during the darkest times of your hurts that you'll find yourself in the sweetest fellowship with Christ and learn how to trust Him the most. So, fail a lot. And what do I mean by fail? I mean, in everybody else's eyes. Let everybody think you're a failure. Amen. Let them hurt you. Let them look at you and go, well, that was stupid. Well, I tried to do right. Amen. I'd rather fail doing right than succeed doing wrong. Fail a lot. I was talking to somebody during this week. You know, I'm going to tell on you Irish. I've discovered something about you. You're perfectionists. You won't get off your tod because you say, well, I wouldn't do it very well. You know what you're afraid of? Somebody laughing at you. You're afraid of somebody going, boy, that was bad. Moses stuttered. David had wandering eyes. You find me one perfect person in that Bible outside of Jesus Christ. Paul got mad. Peter, man, he's trying to cut somebody's head off. I mean, they're all a mess. And we could sit here and list all of the problems with all those people and we'd still be stinking sheep. But the moment you start to head out and say, you know what, I want to be more than I am. I want to follow the great shepherd. I used to be a stupid sheep. Now at least I'm a following sheep, but I want to be more than a follower. As soon as you do that, everybody's going to sit back and go, oh, look at so-and-so. I give him a week. And he'll just be back to the way he was. I'd rather try and fail than not try at all. Fail a lot. You see, I try to quit smoking. Try again. I try to read my Bible. Try again. I fail every time I try to make things right. Try again. Fail a lot. And hurt a lot. Don't let... You know, the devil is so slick. He discourages us when we're doing nothing. And he discourages us when we're trying to do something. And he discourages us by hurt, by emotions. Don't let life and mockery and people misunderstanding you, don't let it numb you. Do you know Jesus is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, isn't he? Don't ever lose the ability to be touched with the hurts of others. If you find yourself getting cold and calloused, that's a sin. Because Jesus calls you to be just like Him. And He's touched with the feeling, not just the word, with the feeling of our infirmities. Allow yourself to hurt a lot. Never stop feeling. The moment you stop having feelings is the moment you're through. You say, I come into church and I hurt because of what so-and-so did or what so-and-so said. I'm so glad you're alive.
Amen. Hurting people still have a heart. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be above. Jesus wept out of aching hurt. Go to Matthew 14. Another thing. Do a lot of things alone. Matthew 14. When you're a sheep, you hang with a lot of other sheep. You know what's great about our youth group is there's more than just one. Amen, Nathan? Not just you down there on the team. Not just you back there with Barry. That would be painful enough. There's a bunch of other ones. And it's really like when even more show up, right? That's what sheep do. Sheep gather together. They eat together. They bat together. I don't know. And they do other things together we won't describe. But that's what sheep do. But shepherds are a different... Don't misunderstand. I think I just got the thought. Maybe everybody's thinking I'm calling them to be pastors. No. You see, a shepherd is somebody who just takes care of a flock. It includes being a pastor because you are a flock of the Lord. But it's to take care of your flock. And we'll talk about it in a moment. It's to take care of your children. They're your flock. And you can't just be a sheep. And they be a sheep, and all of you just go with the world, you lose them all. It may be that group, I wish Weston was here. He's over at Lionel Smith Church today, helping out Layton Kelly. But I wish Weston was here because he's got a flock. Now they're all of the devil, right? Bunch of guys that are at work. He's shepherding those sheep who've gone astray. He's trying to get them to follow one true shepherd. You understand what I'm saying? He's got a flock of his own. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be the bishop for you to have a flock that you're to take care of. So, if you're going to be this kind of a shepherd, you're going to have to learn to do a lot of things alone. Matthew 14:23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. We're a lot like sheep, like I've already said. We like being with other sheep. We like the energy of other sheep. But we need to be more like the shepherd. Go to Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. Matthew, Mark, Luke 9. Verse 51. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up onto a cross, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Now, what did all his disciples know was waiting for him at Jerusalem? Yeah. They kept hearing him talk about it. And they knew that they didn't like him in Jerusalem. But he set to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face. And they went. They entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him. They didn't want him there that day. Because he was going to Jerusalem. His faith, he wasn't going to have any diversions. He wasn't going to sit and chat. He wasn't going to have a cup of tea. He wasn't going to watch the game. He was going to be there and get out as early as he could the next morning and get down to Jerusalem. They said, well, we don't want you here anyway. Jesus started out alone. People would flock to him, but in the end, everyone abandoned him. And yet, even when he was alone, he kept going, didn't he? We need to be more like our shepherd. You know, Jesus only wanted to do his Father's will. He says in John 4:34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. John 6:38 says, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. John 9:4 says, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. We need to be more like our shepherd, where we will set our course and go no matter how many come along or how few. Now, this doesn't mean that you should be a loner. We should be willing to go alone, but it doesn't mean to be a loner. It just means that your friends no longer control you. The sheep don't determine what you do. when God calls you in a different direction. Say if God were to call you to a mission field and your parents pass out, or your wife passes out. Maybe you can sense God calling you to another job because the job that you're in is filthy, wicked, unbearable. You've tried to witness and they have just shut you down. They made every rule against you, handing out tracts, and you decide, I did my best. And all they're doing is pulling me down spiritually. I'm going to find another job. And everybody will laugh at you, not understand you, but you're going to do what God asked you to do. And you're willing to do it alone. Maybe you might be the most popular person in your school. Amen. But if God calls you to leave those friends and to find some better friends, more godly friends, no matter how few, you've got to be willing to do it. That is what a shepherd does. And you'll end up doing a lot of things alone. Make hard decisions. Joshua 24, 25, Joshua says these words. I've only got a little bit of time. I want to finish with two, three more thoughts. Joshua says, choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, he doesn't ask his wife, right, honey? We will serve the Lord, right, huh? No, he says, as for me and my house, we will. You looking at me, honey? We will serve the Lord. You're going to have to make some hard decisions. You're going to have to make some decisions where your wife's going to look at you and go, I ain't following you. You're going to have to make some decisions where your children look at you and go, here we go again. Make some hard decisions. That's what leaders do. It is always easy to let others make up your mind for you. What should I do? It's always easy to let other people decide what you should wear. I had a friend who, he was 17 years old, last time I saw him. Every morning his mother laid out his clothes and helped him get dressed. Every morning. Now that's just an unusual extreme. But some of you are no better. You let the world tell you what you're going to wear, how you're going to act, how you're even going to walk is determined by the world. If you want to be more than just dumb sheep and start making some hard decisions, like that you're going to keep yourself pure, that you're going to keep your eyes pure, your heart pure, your mind clean, and your body pure, it's going to be the hardest decision you'll ever make in this day and age. Make the hard decisions, you're going to be honest for the rest of your life. You're not going to ever lie again. The most important decision you can make as a Christian is to stop lying, because it comes too easy. See, sheep don't care what they do, don't care what they say. Shepherds do. You need to make a decision that you're going to do whatever Christ asks of you. I've told you where I've had people say, well, if I get saved, am I going to have to give up drink? They're looking for me, they're looking for an argument. I just look at them and I say, if you want to get saved, you've got to be willing to do whatever God asks you to do. Whatever he does to do, you ought to do. Oh, okay, I'll do that. I'm going to hold you to it. Amen. That's a hard decision. Everything he says? Yeah, everything. Make the hard decision. Make the hard decision. You're going to make him the priority of your life, even over your family, over your work, over your worries and your fears. Make the hard decision. You're never, ever going to pick up a drink or a cigarette. You know what sheep do? Sheep don't make many decisions. Shepherds make hard decisions. Shepherd, where you're at. This goes on with the thought. Do you remember the parable in Luke chapter 15 where a shepherd has gotten 100 sheep? He shepherds those 100 sheep, doesn't he? One gets out and he goes after them. Those are his sheep. He's not worried about anybody else's sheep. He's worried about his sheep. Shepherd, care about your flock. You can always find problems in other people. You can always see problems in other churches. You can always see problems in this church. Take care of where you're at. Take care of your flock. A flock, listen, a church is Christ's flock. Take care of your flock. I'm trying to take care of this flock. You don't say, Well, you know, pastor's not doing a very good job. I'll go help so-and-so. Well, why don't you befriend him? Why don't you leave the deep stuff to me for a little while, okay? Shepherd your own flock, like your home and your children. You know, your little Sunday school class, John and Ruth are getting ready to go back into that class, have them for a month there. That is your flock. Tony, those men and those women, last on Friday night, looking out, I looked out on a flock. Those are your flock. Those are people. Jesus had one sheep that went astray, and he left the 99. He says, I'm trying to shepherd you, but I got to go shepherd that one too. Shepherd your flock. I mean, shepherd them. How do you do it? Take the best care. In 1 Peter 5, 2. I don't have time, but go there real quick. 1 Peter 5, 2. Right after Hebrews. Four things every person in this room can do with their children, with their Sunday school class, with every ministry they may be in. Could be in creche. 1 Peter 5, 2. First of all, feed the flock of God. Whose flock is it, by the way? It's God. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but always willingly, not for filthy lucre, not for filthy money, but of a ready mind. Neither being lords or dictators over God's heritage, but being in samples, there's our example, life to the flock. Feed, teach them, truth by truth, line by line. Secondly, don't be afraid to warn them. Tony, you cannot be 24 hours, the friend of everybody in RU. You've got to, and I know you already do, I'm just doing it for the benefit of everybody else, you've got to sometimes look them straight in the face and warn them. That's being a shepherd. That's where you're saying, I can't be your friend today, I've got to tell you where you're going, I've got to warn you. That's our job. And that means you are caring, and they will respect that. It means love them. There's countless numbers of people in your life that would give anything for your love, for just your ability to show them Christ's love. Love people as Christ loves you. That's how you shepherd where you're at. And then lastly, show them. We talked about this shows the example. Show them how to do things. Show them how to read the Bible. I love it. When we have a visitor, I love it. When I look around and I see somebody and they got the hymnal and they're showing them, we sing the first line all the way across and then start on the second line because they haven't a clue how to sing this book. You ever notice that? Show them. I'm just going to mention some thoughts and then finish. You need to take your time very seriously, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You got to be weird on purpose. That's for our teenagers. You know, you need to be weird. You need to be peculiar on purpose on the job and everywhere you're at. Leaders, sheep look the same. Shepherds look different, don't they? You can tell the shepherd from the sheep, can't you? And people ought to say, that person's trying to be more. Have some victories that God gave you. You know, when David got everybody around him and says, I'm going to go down there and take on that giant, Saul said, you can't do that. You're just a kid. And David said, let me remind you. There was a bear one day that tried to take one of my sheep. There was a lion that tried to take another one of my sheep. I took care of both of them. I can take care of that rascal down there too. Get you some victories. They may be small, but they will encourage you to face a bigger one and take risks. That shepherd that had 100 sheep and one that had gone out, you know what that shepherd did? He said, I got to find that sheep no matter where he is. I better risk my life to save that sheep. Take some risks. Do some things other people may not normally do in order to win them. Lastly, never stop being like the Master. I love this verse. Isaiah 40, and we'll be through. Isaiah 40, in verse 11. Isaiah 40. In verse 11. Boy, it feels like July, doesn't it? I'm warm. Isaiah 40 and verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Make sure you're not trying to be like Pastor Craig because I'll make some mistakes. Make sure you're not trying to be like some famous leader in the world. Never stop trying to be like the Master. See, we're talking about not just leadership, but Christ-like leadership. I started to follow him. Now I want to be like him. Never stop trying to be like him. Let me finish. Obviously, there's some big differences between sheep and a shepherd. I don't think there are too many people that have a problem with determining if I had a sheep over here and a shepherd over here that you would not know that there's a difference. But it's so easy to just go with the flow and to be a sheep. God's challenge to each and every one of us is to move from being a sheep, a follower, to being a shepherd, a leader, and ultimately a world changer. The Christians of the first century did not leave the world alone. They turned the world upside down, didn't they? Do you know, it used to be that men that had been influenced by the Bible, that men honored women as queen and as first. Used to be where it was men who would go off to war and give their lives to protect their wives and their families. Used to be that men watched their language, especially being around children and women and people they didn't want to wrongly influence. Used to be that it was a shame to walk out and to carry a drink or to be drunk anywhere visible by anybody else. Used to be a shame. Used to be children grew up knowing the fear of God, knowing that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, come to save sinners like them. Used to be all over Europe, people knew this was the Word of God. Used to be. It used to be that Sunday, no place was open except churches. It used to be. You know why? Because Christians stopped being just sheep and said, we've got to make a mark. We've got to make a difference to our world. And it worked for a while. Wasn't a perfect world. The devil doesn't just sit idly by. But look at our world now. We're not living in a Christian country. These people don't know Christ. It's post-Christian. It's after the fact. We got to start all over again. We got to be willing to start all over again. How do we do that? Start with having the closest relationship with Jesus Christ possible. I mean, if there's any competition in this church, it ought to be to get closer to Jesus than anybody else. Work harder than anybody else. It takes a lot of time to prepare a Sunday school lesson, doesn't it, for teens? It takes a lot of time to then next week he's going to also be doing Sunday school for the kids. It's a lot of work, isn't it? Oh, Graves are next month. I'm sorry, you've got December. Forgive me. All right. I made one mistake. Usually it's 3 or 4 by now. It takes a lot of time. You could just throw a couple of things together. Could just get by. But that's what sheep do. Shepherds say, okay, how long is it going to take? I want to help these kids. I want to do something that impacts them. And really, you may hear that John's got all this ability. You may not have the same abilities as John, but you can work harder. And then John says that oh, Grant, look what Grant's doing. I'm going to work harder than him. Wouldn't that be cool? You have a church where people labor more than they are. That's how the world is turned upside down, folks. And trust God more and more. You're not trusting in your own abilities. You're not doing anything except yielding and saying, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to get up here and preach, and I hope it makes sense. Let's trust in God. Allow yourself to be hurt a lot, misunderstood a lot. I've thought about it. I thought of, on a Sunday night, describing what is the life of a pastor. And I thought, nah, they wouldn't understand anyway. Can't explain it. It just hurts a lot. It hurts a lot. It hurts a lot when somebody's not here. You don't know how much it hurts. It hurts a lot when people are talking bad about you, says leave, and they find fault with somebody in church, and I hear about it or whatever, and I can't go hurt them back. find yourself to be hurt a lot. Do a lot of things alone. That is, if you want to be more than a sheep. I love it when we have fellowships. I love it when we have activities. This Thursday, we're going to be just a bunch of sheep. Having fun. Amen. But there are going to be some times when you're going to just enjoy God alone. Serve God alone. Make some hard decisions. You know, God usually brings us to a place where we have to make a decision. Don't pull back from it. Shepherd where you're at. Never stop being like the Master. That is, if you want to be more than a sheep, let's stand and let's bow in prayer.